Okay, I'm going to say this in my best Italian accent, but grazie Monza. That had everything. We have so much to talk about. I'm Nicola Hume. As always, I am joined by the godfather of F1 commentary, Mr. Ben Edwards. Ben, what on earth did you make of that?
Well, to see a young Italian racer become the first home Italian Grand Prix winner for 60 years and to do it from the back of the grid was, it was incredible what he managed to achieve. I'm so impressed with what Kimi Antonelli has done. And of course, I had predicted George Russell to take the win, yes, and that Kimi would finish third, even though I knew he was coming from the back. Completely wrong. The battle between teammates was big, not just the top two Mercedes drivers competing for the win, but Ferrari drivers making contact with each other. And of course, the two McLaren drivers, they were having a big battle right to the end. And that last lap when Lando Norris managed to nip past Oscar Piastri and take fourth place. And for McLaren, actually, they outscored Ferrari. So they're pushing for that second place in the Constructors' Championship. There's so much to talk about. It really was amazing.
Right, well, let's get stuck in then, shall we? Producer Jim.
Let's start with the Ferrari shocker. After much hope going into the weekend, the two Ferraris nearly take each other off at turn one before Leclerc has a massive off at the Parabolica at the end of lap two. With only one car in the race, Ferrari somehow don't call in Lewis to the pits during the VSC for a cheap pit stop, despite the fact Lewis was already complaining about his tyres. With fading tyres, Lewis gets picked off by Kimi, Max and Lando to finish a disappointing sixth. Could heads roll after this? Discuss.
No, absolutely. Well, we've been joined by YouTube legend and massive F1 fan Colin Furze. Colin, what did you make of it all?
I was surprised they didn't pull Lewis in.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because when I saw Antonelli come in, I thought it makes sense to pull him in. He was only sliding backwards anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was a little bit shocked they didn't. It's kind of weird because when you look at it from the end of race perspective, like Max didn't get much further, if you know what I mean. Like obviously Antonelli, he went drop down to sixth, Max seventh. Antonelli won, Max was like a sort of a distant third, wasn't he? So I kind of thought maybe in hindsight was it not, you know, such a bad call after all? But still, like, you know, like Jim said, he's moaning about his tyres. He's not really doing anything. He's kind of slowly slipping backwards. So it seemed like a no-brainer, really.
Yeah. Did you watch it from your bunker?
I did, yeah.
Nice.
I've got a bigger telly down there. It's brilliant.
Have you? Yeah. How big's the telly?
It's 79 or 81 or something inches now.
That's basically a cinema.
Well, I was taking pictures of it and everyone was like saying, oh, your telly's too small. And I kind of looked at it and thought, I suppose, yeah, back in 2015, a 42-inch telly was quite big. Whereas now, yeah, that's just like, you know, kids have them in the bedrooms now,
yeah,
don't they?
Wow.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Oh, your thoughts, Ben?
Just that Ferrari battle and the clash between the two of them at the start. That was such a shame, wasn't it? That Leclerc and Hamilton made that bit of contact. Hamilton then lost time. And they were both a bit, you know, it is a tricky one, though. Going through that first corner, it's always tricky being on the outside, the car on the inside. I'm sure Charles didn't want to push him off. But when you're on cold tyres at the start of a race, it's very easy to run a bit wide and it just all went a bit wrong between them. And then, of course, Charles' accident. Oh,
yeah.
That was horrible. Second time that we've ever seen him have a huge shunt there. And that was a real shame.
Yeah, because, we were talking about this before we were recording.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's now gone off that same corner twice.
Yeah, 2020, he did the same thing.
You had a fun little fact.
Well, the fact that actually that was a remarkable race too, because that was the race that Pierre Gasly won.
See?
And partly because there was red flag again that in that race, that helped Pierre Gasly. And
maybe it's Pierre Gasly that's the bad influence on Charles then. He's on
it's
pole.
Possible.
Do you know what I mean? Gasly wins. Maybe the two are connected somehow.
I'm sure we'll be talking more about Pierre going through this.
Producer Jim.
Russell Watch just misses out on pole on Saturday. Cue Toto screen punch. But makes a great start and takes the lead before Leclerc red flag. Gets away from pole on the second start and hits the front of some great battling with Verstappen. Doesn't get the chance to pit under VSC and gets reeled in and passed for the lead with three laps to go. How the hell did Russell not win that race? Discuss.
I'm just going to say this. Mama was mad. He was a very cross boy on that podium. You could see it in his face. The fact that they pulled up at the end of the race, as far as we saw, he didn't go straight up to Kimi to give him a big congratulations, whereas everybody else did. And it all seemed a bit awkward and uncomfortable. And it seems like he was blaming the strategy a little bit.
Well, strategy was part of it, wasn't it? Because he wasn't on fresh tyres. You know,
yeah,
he had to keep those hard tyres going for so long through that race. And the fact that Kimi was able to come in, put fresh tyres on, it was always going to help him, wasn't it?
It's kind of weird, really, because you try and put yourself in his position. You're thinking, right, I'm starting at, you know, near the front row. My teammate's on the back row. surely there's going to be decent amount of positions in between us come the end of the race. Now, obviously, the red flag helped Kimi and didn't help him, because obviously everybody got the tyre change and everything, and that's kind of slightly disadvantaged him in a weird way. But still, he went from 19th to 12th, didn't he, in like two laps or something, or whatever it was.
It was amazing.
So he was like blasting past the back markers as if they were in a different category. But then obviously on the second restart, within about two laps, he was up to like sixth or seventh. And then you kind of like, once you were looking at it like that, you were like, well, this is nearly a normal race now. And that's the equivalent of Kimi just having a bad qualifying session, never mind starting at the back. So I think George must have been massively deflated because he's just like, what, how, do you know what I mean? If he's come from the back to the front, I should have won by like 10, 12 seconds at least or something. And I think that's what he'll be asking himself. Maybe he was just too conservative. Maybe he thought, he's no way he's coming through. And I thought, as long as I've just, somewhere in here.
But his engineer would have been keeping him updated. Yeah. He would have been going, where's Kimi?
Or he'd have been like, come on, you've got plenty of pace in the car. Let's drop him or whatever. So
I mean, the fact that he was on hard tyres, maybe that was the decision for him not to pit, because both Max and Kimi were on medium, so it made sense for them to go into the pits during the VSC. So maybe it was that. And they were like, oh, it's fine, your tyres are still looking pretty good. But then there was a whole conversation about strats. What strat were you on? They were talking about in the cool down room.
Yeah, you see, that's where he's obviously starting to think. All of that sort of stuff. Was we getting equal treatment?
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird, because when we had the first red flag and everybody changed their tyres, I sat there thinking, like, to get this car all the way through this race on one set of tyres is, it's possible because people have done it, but surely people are going to think, wait a minute, rather than spending 50-odd laps of tyre conservation, let's just go for it, pit in the middle, stick something else on and go for it again. Yeah. Surely that's going to work out as being just as fast as just sitting there minding your business.
And especially when there's a safety car, as there was, that really helps Kimi.
I'm surprised everybody didn't come in nearly, because it must have been, people must have been sat there thinking, this is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
We're going to gain 5 seconds of pit stop time to get new tyres.
I think it was 10 seconds, wasn't it? Because normally a pit stop was 25 and then it was 15.
So it just, as soon as it got triggered, I'm like, surely everyone's going to be bombing in now. But not everybody did. So.
No,
but it's good for us. Makes it interesting watching.
Made it entertaining. We had a nice day. Producer Jim.
Okay, unstoppable Kimi Antonelli. Despite a grid penalty for a power unit change, Kimi goes from 19th to 12th before the red flag for Leclerc's crash. The restart gives him a better track position and he takes it with both hands. A lucky pit stop under VSC could be argued, but 25 overtakes, a fastest lap and the first Italian to win the home Grand Prix since 1966. Have we just witnessed the greatest Italian Grand Prix victory of all time? Discuss.
I mean, it was pretty spectacular and it did seem like it was kind of written in the stars that he should win that race. The fact that it's been 60 years since an Italian had won at Monza.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
And you sort of felt for all the fans, and there were so many Ferrari fans, of course, and it all went wrong for Ferrari quite early on, and Lewis wasn't really getting there, but they were so excited to see an Italian take the victory. And for Kimi to be up there, having won at Monza, that really was such a major achievement. And of course, he's continued to extend the championship lead at the moment.
Well, do you want the numbers? So at the moment in the championship, so you've got Kimi in first position with 267 points. Then it's George Russell with 201. Lewis Hamilton, 191. Lando Norris, 171 points. So it feels like Kimi's just now going to potentially run away with it. And there was a statement from, who was our guest? Jenny Gow. Jenny Gow was on the show and she said, if Kimi wins Monza, he will win the entire championship. Ba-boom.
She's got a crystal ball.
Yeah, she has, apparently.
So I mean, it's in his favour. But then obviously last year, was it Oscar lost to Max Verstappen, lost nearly 100 points or something, wasn't it? But I think this is a different championship, definitely, because there's more cars involved, which is always an issue because you've got different cars winning different races on different weekends. Yeah. So
I agree with that. That's one of the things about this new technology, isn't it? That some cars work at some circuits and not at others.
Yeah. So it's not like last year it was a two, or it was either McLaren or Red Bull.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So you knew that you were, were fighting one team and particularly normally one driver.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a bit more of a lottery this year. So I think that is going to help him massively.
Yeah.
But also, I always think for a racing driver, it was his home race. They put him at the back and they said they did that, didn't they? Just take a bit of pressure off him.
Yeah.
But I bet he was quite excited about it. Because I always think, if you've got the most competitive car on the grid, I mean, obviously, if you're in a championship position, you probably wouldn't wish upon this. But every now and again, to just go, start from the back, see how you get on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do.
Honestly, if I can come through and win it.
But I agree. And what I also think, as a young man like him, to have achieved what he's achieved, the confidence is just going to go up and up and up even more now in him. And I think there is a real chance that he's going to win the championship this year.
He's now got 7 career wins.
Exactly. 7 wins. He's got a good lead in the points.
Yeah.
And it's just that confidence, as you're talking about, to do what he did, to come from the back at his home event. It's remarkable. And I think that inner confidence will just get stronger and stronger.
I think as well, it's confidence. It's not cockiness.
No.
He's like not cocky whatsoever. He's just this humble, lovely, and having his whole family there and like his little brothers and sisters talking to him on the radio. And you're just like, oh, it's all just a lovely little bubble of a beautiful family. Just this lovely little normal family. And he just happens to be winning everything and being amazing.
It reminded me a little bit of the Marc Marquez German Saxon Ring MotoGP when I think this was in MotoGP, in fact, it might have been when he was in Moto2. And something happened on the grid and he ended up going at the back and he still come through and won it. And he was literally scything through everybody like they were in a different class. It was crazy. And him coming from the back and doing that. So, and in fact, the whole race, to be fair, did remind me a little bit of MotoGP because of the whole passing, repassing
thing. It's more like that.
And I think the problem with that is in the bike racing, or certainly a few years back, if people or riders were swapping for positions, sometimes the rider in front would just tap the back of the bike and just to say like, look, follow me, we're losing time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because if you're constantly passing and repassing, that's not the fastest way around the track. And I think you noticed it with the two McLarens and even like with Max and George. When they're fighting all the time, the person in front, like the gap just starts to get bigger. But of course, they can't wave their hands or anything in the car and just be like, come on, let's just get on
with it.
Excuse me. Yeah, stop squabbling. Look, I'll let you by in a minute. Let's just, you know, I need to focus on the dude in front. So yeah, but no, it was good, entertaining.
Yeah, producer Jim.
Max Verstappen shrugged off the disappointment of Zandvoort with a very impressive drive. Like Antonelli, he and Red Bull made the right call during the VSC and seemed to be battling with everyone. Did this performance show us that he is still the best on the brakes and at wheel-to-wheel combat? Discuss.
I mean, I'm not going to say too much because I think everyone knows that I'm a fan of Max. And I think he had a cracking race. He seemed to be back on form. It was lovely seeing him back on form. None of us... I'm not going to do any spoilers here because we're going to talk about predictions later on. But none of us put Max on that podium. No one. No one even thought he would be anywhere near there. And then boom, he's in third place.
No, I think Max is one of those people, he complains a lot on the radio and stuff about the car. But then if you switch the radio off and just looked at the lap times, you wouldn't think there's somebody moaning about in the car. He just seems to get on with it. And I think he's like that sort of person. He'll complain about stuff because he wants it to be better. But in the actual races and in the zone, I think he's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just does the best of what he can. But his move around the outside of Oscar on like the first or second lap, it was.
Yeah.
You know, that was... Oscar probably just, never thought, hey, I ain't going to come around the outside. I mean, now, whoom, do you know what I mean? Again, fantastic.
Yeah. Ben, say some nice things about Max.
No, he is superb. He is superb. And it was really interesting to see how good the Red Bull was there.
Yeah.
And I still think they're going to be out there winning races at certain times. It's just getting onto the right track and getting the development right on the car. But I was impressed with how they were going because some circuits they have struggled, but as you were saying, some of these circuits do suit some cars and some don't. But I think Max will definitely be competing up top end, as we've seen several times.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be discussing the next circuit coming up a little bit later on. And none of us know who's going to be good there. So exactly. But that's for later. Producer Jim.
Okay, Alpine in dreamland. Pierre Gasly put an unbelievable lap in to take pole position. He hung on for as long as possible against the top teams in the race. Franco Colapinto got a great restart after the red flag, but went off into the gravel and down to 17th. He recovered to 9th and Gasly finished 7th. Could this be the catalyst they need to reel in Racing Bulls in the Constructors' Championship? Discuss.
Yeah, that is possible. I mean, I think the battle between Alpine and Racing Bulls is going to be tough. But that pole position, I was so happy to see that for Pierre Gasly.
I didn't get to, I was out for the day, so I didn't get to see Quali on telly. But it was one of those where we went to the cinema, walked out the cinema, opened my phone, and that was the headline. And I was like,
you must have been astonished.
Yeah, I'd have been annoyed that you'd ruined it.
Yeah, I wanted to watch the highlights, but it's one of those, like, people just start texting and they're like, oh my God, Pierre Gasly. And I was like, what?
The times were so close, weren't they?
But it was on merit, though. It wasn't like it was a wet qualifying or anything.
Absolutely.
Sort of thing. You know what I mean? They were there or thereabouts in some of the practice sessions. So I think obviously with the race, it was kind of a weird, it was weird really, because obviously there was quite a few cars out of position, obviously Antonelli at the back, Pierre at the front, but come the end of the race, it's like they'd been through some shaking system and everyone kind of finished where you'd have expected them to have started or finished anyway. Because like the two Alpines, even though Colapinto went off, got back up to just two places behind Gasly. Antonelli won, even though he started from the back. And it was like, what's the point in qualifying? Just, you know, shake it all. They'll all finish where they finish. So
it was great, though. So nice to see Alpine up there.
Yeah,
it's exciting for them.
And it was nearly an argument for some sort of reverse grid system.
What do you mean?
Well, because if you put the best driver at the back and they can still come through and win.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Because I've always said, like, if you explain Formula One to somebody that doesn't know anything about it, there's no sense in putting the fastest person at the front, because like you don't put Usain Bolt 5 meters in front of the next guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, and F2 do the whole reverse sprint feature race.
Well, F1 Academy do similar. Yeah, they do.
And I've always wondered whether they should do that every now and again, just as a bit of an experiment. Because there are some races which are, processional and dull.
Yeah.
So, and it's just like, you know, we know what the track, we know normally the tracks that produce that. It's like, do we have those tracks? Oh, this is a bit of a drib of a track. Let's have a bit of a switch up somewhere.
It's like they've got that thing coming up at Silverstone with Max versus 100 go-karts.
Oh, yeah.
And Max is going to be starting right at the back versus just kids in go-karts, just to kind of show how great he's going to be right from the back of
bit of a
100 go-karts.
Yeah, whatever.
And Max is
kids,
like, bye.
Smash them off.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be a tricky PR thing, that, isn't it? Ah, whatever. It's
like
taking
you,
candy
kids.
From a baby.
Well, we have our need to talk about section coming up in just a little while, but it will be a tough one because it's a team we really like on this show. Producer Jim.
Right, Red Bull switcheroo part two.
Oh.
Isaac Hadjar's still injured, and it was the complete opposite of Holland. Yuki Tsunoda finished a battling 10th, but Liam Lawson a disappointing 14th. Have these two races done either of them any good for the 2027 driver market? Well, discuss.
It's a tricky one, this, because, I mean, Liam ended in 14th because there was an issue with Nico Hülkenberg, which none of us saw on the broadcast, by the way. That was really annoying.
Mm.
But seeing the interviews with Liam afterwards, I don't know what happened, who went into who. He said, oh, I had an incident with Nico, don't know what happened, but he ended up having to change his whole front wing. So that's why he ended up so far down at the back, because I remember everyone was questioning, why is he pitting so early? But we didn't get to see what actually happened. So that's the reason he ended up in 14th. But I don't think we can knock Liam at all. I find it really interesting how well he's done in the Red Bull. If you take out the whole front wing situation, he's been pretty solid.
He had a good race at Zandvoort, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very good.
And I think, to be fair, Tsunoda as well, he's done well.
Well, apart from, you know, starting in the wrong spot and having to do another formation lap.
I forgive him for that. That's an easy mistake, that, he'd be left and right.
And it's interesting that he didn't get penalised. They did check it out. He didn't get penalised. But I gather there is a protest from Audi because they want the point for 10th place. So, we'll see.
Playing the game, and it's playing the game.
Yeah.
It is.
Producer Jim.
Okay, 2026 spec cars Monza special. This race was gripping from start to finish, with slipstreaming being really important with the new regulations. However, some people will say that the racing is still artificial. So, was that the greatest Italian Grand Prix since the photo finishes from the 1960s, or artificial gimmick racing? Discuss.
Ooh, let's let Colin answer this one.
So, obviously, first time I've been on the podcast this year, so I've not really spoke about the regs.
Mm.
I think the cars can definitely follow each other better this year, because, I mean, if you notice, like, when a lot of them were going up into the Parabolica, they were literally right behind, whereas last year you wouldn't have done that. You'd have ended up spinning off. So I think that's definitely good. The initial races where the yo-yo racing, like Melbourne, where they were kind of passing over, you kind of looked at it and you thought, it was exciting for a little while, and then you're like, oh, this is just ridiculous, because it's just, mate, his battery's dead, mate, his battery's not dead, straight past, no good. But then there was like a little bit of China where Lewis and Leclerc were having fights, and they were passing each other in places that you wouldn't normally get passing. And I thought, there is something in these regulations or in this power spec, which is kind of good. It's just at the right levels.
Yeah.
If it goes too far, when people just whack past, that's no good. But a bit like Max's move around the outside of Oscar and stuff, that is kind of, that's driver, that is, sort of thing.
Yes.
A little bit of battery, obviously, because Oscar was probably going slower than he would do. So I think if they just bring it back a little bit, then it probably will be okay. But there are, it's kind of weird, like, there was a lot of overtakes in the Monza race. Mm. And at one point you could think, is this too many? because if they're literally every other lap they're swapping,
yeah,
it's a bit like, I don't know if you watched Motor 3 races back in the day. It's no, the whole race is nearly pointless until the last lap. Because there would be like a bunch of about six riders. They're all over the blooming place. You could be in seventh and you could still win it, sort of thing. So it's not quite as bad as that. But if it gets too, if there's too many overtakes, then it just becomes a bit of a bit load of nonsense,
yeah,
sort of thing. So, but people are so hard to please, aren't they?
Because
if you think, like, you know, we're complaining about too many overtakes and stuff, it's like, what?
This is too entertaining, yeah, for my liking. If you could shove your head under the bonnet of an F1 car, because I know you kind of like to tinker with things, what would you tinker? What would you tweak? Would you keep it 50-50?
I think you want the aero regs of today with probably a V10 and some mild hybrid thing just to satisfy the car
manufacturers. Everything you said is correct, yes.
Yeah, just very, very small. But I think, because everybody looks back at the early 2000s, oh yeah, brilliant, but they were some proper dull races then. Yeah, they sounded amazing, but they was processional races. So I think you need nice engine, nice sound. I think V10 rather than V8.
Yeah.
I preferred the V10s. Mm-hmm. I think everybody does. It's always the same. Just look at the comments, FIA. It's always V10. So I'd stick that, maybe slight battery thing. I mean, I'm not bothered if you don't have a battery, but you can understand how like Audi, Mercedes are going to be looking at this, thinking, why are we spending millions of pounds on these? You know, I know you've got the fuels, you know, you have the biofuels and stuff. But yeah, so that's what I'd do with today's aero regs so they can follow. And then maybe a little bit of shuffling of the order at some of the duller tracks.
Well, did we all get a little bit overexcited as soon as we heard the engine from Michael Schumacher's car over the weekend? Sebastian Vettel doing some laps in it. It was just beautiful hearing that sound as it was going around the circuit. You're like, oh, that is nice. I want that sound just plugged into my veins.
Oh, I mean, you must get the Instagram posts I do where it's like, you know, 2026 Spa versus 2010 or whatever Spa. Yeah. And it's just the noise difference.
Yeah.
And then I've also got Michael Schumacher's lap of Monza, and it's just, it's an Instagram reel. And I think it was like, play this to fix your algorithm or something. And it's just him going round. So, yeah. Yeah, it's that's the noise of Formula One, which I think is definitely missing. Mm. So I'd bring that back with the aero we've got today.
Lovely.
Oh, good stuff.
Well, hang on, answer the question. Was it the greatest race ever or artificial?
Colin, you didn't answer the question.
I think it was definitely a good race, but I think if you were to put the line, if you were to swingometer, I think it would swing slightly more into artificial than what it would be great race.
I agree.
So,
Ben?
Well, I think I enjoy lots of different races. So, yeah.
Don't sit on the fence.
Answer the question.
But if you were to ask me what I would probably enjoy, I enjoyed that than watching something where, because everyone goes on about like Imola 2006 when Fernando Alonso was chasing Michael Schumacher. And I often look at back and I think, yeah, it was quite tense, but realistically, he was never going to get past him because it's such a tight, twisty track.
Yeah.
So is that better than somebody carving through from the back and stuff with a little bit of extra power? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It depends how you look at it.
It's always unpredictable. But that's...
I didn't want to go toilet in the middle of the race, put it that way.
That's true.
Because I went toilet down in the bunker.
Everyone went toilet during the red flag.
So yeah, but that was right at the beginning. Still got 50 laps. Don't touch any water or cups of tea.
Good stuff. Well, we need to go into our We Need to Talk About section now, which is about underperforming drivers and teams. And this week, unfortunately, it's one of our favourite teams on the grid that we want to discuss, and that is Haas. They have had a good start to the season. They haven't scored any points since Monaco. And I thought in qualifying, actually, Behrmann had done a good job in qualifying in that for coming up to this race. But in the race itself, they didn't seem to do such a great job.
It's such a shame because it seemed like there was a stage when we had Aya Komatsu on this show, which, by the way, if you haven't watched, I highly recommend you go back and watch. It's a lovely episode. And it seemed at that point they were kind of picking things up a little bit and it looked like they were kind of building up and getting better. And then all of a sudden it just kind of went flat on its arse, really.
They've had a strange season. Like you said, they had a really good start and then they've just disappeared to the point where you just forget they're there, really, if you know what I mean. It's like, you know, if you think back to races, like obviously, you know, on the journey here today, I was thinking about what happened and stuff. Literally didn't think about Haas at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like they just don't register because they're not really qualifying particularly well. They're not racing particularly well. They just seem to be just there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Budget, of course, is always tough for them. They don't have the kind of budget that some of the other teams do have.
So. Yeah, but they don't have to pay for the CNC machines,
yeah,
do
yeah.
they?
No, they have to work on it. They have to work on it. I did think that they had improved in qualifying. I did think that they'd got a bit better there. But in the race, yeah, in the race, it just didn't really work out so well. But I still think it's a team that can put things together a bit more. We'll see. We'll see in the future.
I always like it when he gets a little bit positive. Like he tries to find the light at the very end of a dark tunnel. Do you know what I mean?
You know, you've got to keep glass half full, haven't you?
Yeah, that's the way Ben lives, and I just love it. Let me know your thoughts on Haas and, well, anything that we've been talking about on this episode. So pop it in the comments section below. Follow us on all of the social media things. We are Essential F1 on basically everything. Hey, on YouTube, don't know if you know this, we are like touching distance to having a million views on YouTube, which is massive.
Come on, guys, push them over the edge.
Thank you.
Watch it twice or just leave it running where you're in the bath or something.
Well, here's it would really help, actually, Colin, because, like, obviously you are like Mr. YouTube. Like,
This year, I'm not. Like, two videos to my name. They're terrible.
But, like, what we need is because people watch our episodes and they comment and they like and they sometimes tell their friends and things like that. But no one's clicking the subscribe button and it's getting really annoying.
Do you know what that is?
What's that?
It's because of how the algorithms work nowadays. If you watch something, you get shown more of it. You kind of don't need to subscribe anymore.
Okay, well, that's not what I wanted you to say.
No, but what I'm saying is it's not your fault.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Do you know what I mean? It's the game. It's not the player.
Well, see your camera, your single camera that's just over there.
So, guys, forget the algorithm, all right? Just subscribe because you're going to see it anyway. So it doesn't matter, does it? You may as well be subscribed to these people.
That's all I wanted. That's great. Thank you.
Lovely.
Right. After the amazing scenes in Italy, with obviously Kimi just taking the home win, just driving past absolutely everybody, 25 overtakes being absolutely ridiculous. I'd love to know if you, Colin, have like an Italian motorsport story that you can tell us.
I do. I do have an Italian motorsport. So essentially, back in 2005... me and Rick went to the MotoGP at Mugello, and this was a really interesting trip. We didn't really plan anything. We got a hire car at the airport, just drove there.
Yeah.
And Saturday night after qualifying at the MotoGP, everyone in Italy anyway just goes absolutely berserk. They're just revving engines in crates all night.
Fun.
They're setting fire to stuff.
Yeah.
There's people whacking past on mopeds, doing wheelies, dragging things. It was just me and Rick were just like, we want a piece of this.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. You know, you're kind of walking around the whole thing. You feel sort of left out, but also involved. So anyway, the following year, we thought, right, let's go to the MotoGP at Le Mans in France, and we'll all buy cheap mopeds.
Brilliant.
And we'll ride there, and then we can smash them up, burn them, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Not usual British tourist things.
Worry about getting
rubbish
home after.
In France. They'll be fine with it. So anyway, we went to Newark Auto Jumbo. We all got mopeds for 50 quid, which was a dream. I mean, you probably couldn't do that now. And we went there. We did have a great time, but I got attached to mine.
Okay.
Mum's a little Honda Sky, a Honda SGX50.
Lovely.
And it was quite good because when I bought it, it was beige. And I looked at it and thought, this is a sort of moped that an old person would ride. So every time I rode this motorbike, I had green cords, shirt and tie on, and a jacket. And then when I went to build the Wall of Death, which was like one of the first ever YouTube projects, mm-hmm. I rode that moped, rode it on, and that's where the shirt and tie came from.
No way!
Because obviously by riding the Wall of Death, I thought, I'm on my old man moped, I better put my old man outfit on. So I was whacking around there. Everyone was commenting on he ain't got a helmet on. And it was like, no, but he doesn't need a helmet on. He's got his safety tie.
No way!
And that's where the shirt and tie come from. So it was all a knock-on effect from the Italian MotoGP.
That's lovely.
If you're a fan of Colin, you'll know about the shirt and tie and also the terrible shoes you're wearing today.
Have terrible shoes, yes.
I did want to pick up on that because you didn't mean to wear...
I was in the workshop this morning because, you know, this is like mid... Well, it's like half one or something now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I thought, like, well, I can't not do anything this morning. So I'm plasma cutting some plates out for the car lift.
Yeah.
And of course, I had my workshop shoes on. I got to the train station, looked down, I was like, oh, damn. Not changed them. So, and also in Italy was when I learned about siestas.
Oh, okay.
Me and Rick didn't know anything about siestas. So we turned up, got a hire car, and we was in like Bologna or whatever you fly into.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went into the town and we were a little bit tired sort of thing. We thought, go to bed a little bit early and then get to the racetrack tomorrow. So we kind of pulled up in like this, what we thought was a nice, quiet cul-de-sac of a car park. in this, sleeping in this estate car, and about 10 o'clock, the whole place goes berserk with everybody going out. Of course, you know, that's siesta, isn't it? That's what they do.
Yeah.
They go for a nap in the afternoon and then like party till like 2 a.m. So we kind of got woken up. But it was all right. We got involved. It was all good fun.
It's kind of a dream life, though, isn't it? The whole like siesta thing. We need to like bring.
Well,
that
we could
here.
Have adopted that this year, couldn't we? With all the heat waves we've had.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, often in the afternoon, you kind of think, well, I'm just there's no point being awake now. I can't do anything. It's too hot.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good point because we're going to see how things go at the next Grand Prix now, Madrid.
They also have siestas in Madrid.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be interesting there as well. And of course, this is something we've got to now talk about and think about because this is a completely new circuit. And it's going to be really interesting to see how all the teams get on. We've got to predict, of course, as well. It's 3.4 miles long. They're saying 20 corners, or maybe 22, actually, they're saying now, corners, which is...
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's a lot of corners. Actually,
no,
it's not
you said 20 or 20. How do you not know how many corners there are? Do they not know
they
how many?
Like a weird kink.
But I think they have announced now it's going to be 22. And of course, sometimes you get these little curves and whether you get a corner name on it or not.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But Jeddah is the one with the most. That's 3.8 miles with 27 corners. But it is pretty close. I mean, it is going to be a busy track. And it's got a steep bit where they're at a real angle.
Yeah, the banking. Is it called a monument or something?
It's much more than a Zandvoort. It's 180 degrees. Effectively, you're doing complete. Turnaround.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really challenging part. And then lots of sort of chicane type bits and pieces as well. But we can't really predict what's going to happen there, can we?
But we can have a go, Ben, can't we?
We'll have a go.
We can give it a go. Yeah. Right. Here's what's going on with our prediction championship of the world. Everything's all gone a little bit all over the place.
Right.
I don't know if you've been following along.
Well, it's been a tricky year, isn't it?
It
2023 was the year to be doing this.
It's been a very
Max
tricky...
first.
Yeah.
You ain't got picked two then, didn't you?
It's been a very tricky year, but I know that you have been following along because you like to subscribe.
Well, I do, don't I? I don't just rely on the algorithm to get up to date with Essential F1.
Right. You know the rules. So you've got to pick P1, P2, P3 and fastest lap.
Okay.
Now, here are the standings, okay? I'm still in P1 with 46 points, but for the last... 3 races, I've scored nothing.
Wow, that's so unusual.
Absolutely nothing. It's blowing my own mind. Currently in P2, producer Jim, 39 points. You got 1 point for Antonelli's fastest lap. Very nice, Jim.
Reeling you in.
Yes. Then it's Ben with 36 points. Now, your mega run, I'm afraid, Ben, has come to an end.
Failed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, knocking out like 10 points a week, like suddenly just came out of nowhere. It was like crazy. Mm-hmm. So this is nice. He's staying humble this week. And then team guest, so this was Louise Goodman that was in your seat last time. She got 5 points because she got Russell in second and Antonelli fastest lap. So team guest currently in 26 points.
We're way
so
behind
fourth
that.
Place. So over to you.
I think then, because it's got a big bank.
Yeah.
And Zandvoort had a big bank.
Yeah.
Norris to win.
Lovely.
Just because, you know,
we've
got nothing
bank.
To go on. Mm-hmm. I think second could be somebody in a JCB because it'd be interesting if it finished. So, because somebody showed me a picture, it was a picture on Instagram of it like a month ago, and I looked at it and thought, that doesn't look like there's a month's work left there. It's like 6 months.
Oh,
but
good.
Anyway, we don't worry about that. It's finished. It's going to be finished.
So it'll be fine.
So we've got Norris, Antonelli Verstappen.
Oh. Oh.
So I think George's head's dropped there. He's going to be in a mood. He'll come back fighting, but something stupid will happen or whatever, and he'll end up somewhere else.
Fastest lap?
George, because he's had something stupid happen, and he's had some new tyres and could go faster. Come on, Colin, let this be. I've gone into so much detail.
I like it. We like the detail.
Yeah.
Ben.
That's really interesting, actually, because I was thinking very much along the same lines as you on that. I think I'm going to go for the same three, but maybe in a slightly different order because it's all a bit unpredictable at the moment. I think I might go for Max just for surprise.
Well, I nearly put Max second.
Yeah.
But I thought actually Kimi's going to be he's going to be like a dog on heat this week.
Yeah.
He's
going to be nuts.
Every single thing he's doing, he's just going to be, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for Max for the win, Kimi for second, Lando for third. And fastest lap, actually, I'm going to go for Hamilton. You never know, Ferrari might suddenly come up with a bit more performance again.
Yeah,
they do at some. They do at some tracks.
Yeah, lovely. Very nice. Well,
but they're unpredictable at the minute, you see.
They are.
So that's the only reason I haven't put them in there.
That's what makes predicting really unpredictable.
But then Lewis was always good at doing new tracks throughout his career. If they ever turned up at a new track, he did always seem to boss it pretty quick.
So what are you saying, you want to change your mind?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. Just so if whatever happens, you can edit all these things in.
So you've got to cover.
I'm just giving the editor a little bit more.
Would you like to compliment another 18
drivers? Yeah, a bit more B-roll for next week, haven't you? So.
Right.
You see, Alpine, they're going to do fantastic. And then, right. Of course, there's William and Sainz. You know, he's right near his house.
Yeah.
So he's not got far to go. Which will have an effect on his jet lag travelling from home. He might have had his mum's cooking the night before,
yeah,
so
probably.
That might, you know, calm him down a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
God, couldn't be sorry.
All right. P1 Kimi Antonelli.
Right.
Has to be.
Yep,
and also, in the past, he's the one that scored me points, and now he's back up there. I need to get some points because I'm not enjoying scoring zero at the moment. P2 will go to Max Verstappen, just because that's lovely and that would be really lovely and nice. P3 will go to Lewis Hamilton. Don't know why, just will. And fastest lap, I'm doing this till the end of the season because I believe in him. And plus he's at home, Fernando Alonso.
You never know. Put some softs on at the end or something.
Basically, they did their car upgrade, then their engine upgrades, and I got all excited about it. So I predicted fastest lap, and then he then got points that race, didn't he?
Mm.
But then not so much going on with Aston Martin at the moment.
No, they are struggling a bit now.
But I still believe in Fernando. Also, while I've got you, I want to say a massive congratulations to Lance Stroll. Don't know if you saw this headline.
Oh, 100.
100 Q1 exits.
Is that in a row or just in total?
Just in total.
I was going to say, I didn't think that was in a row.
Big congratulations,
that's
making history.
That's a stat you're not going to bring up at the Christmas table, is it?
Exactly.
So, oh, by the way, everyone, I always get knocked out. I do.
I think you'll find I've made history in Formula 1. Producer Jim.
Okay, I'm going Norris as well. Bit like Zandvoort.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Antonelli second, same. And Russell third, Antonelli fastest lap.
Okay. Solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Going for the points.
That'll sound good.
You said earlier that you had a theory or something.
Yeah, but it's the same theory everyone else has had. It's like
with
the
bank.
Yeah.
Oh, like yeah. Bank. Oh, right.
We're so boring and dull, aren't we? We haven't spoke about this, by the way, before we went on air.
Well, I was all excited for Jim to say something interesting and then he just didn't.
We've killed it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Without interested him.
Yeah.
So.
Right, please let us know your thoughts and your predictions in the comments section below. Make sure you hit the bell button, hit follow, tell your friends, and then what else, Colin?
Subscribe.
Oh, God, just like, come on.
You know, let's play the game. These people can't do this without funding. And if you don't watch it, listen, or subscribe, it's harder to get funding.
Yeah, see? Oh, and plus, if you haven't seen the episode with Andy Willman, as in, like, the legend from the Grand Tour and Top Gear, then click on the link, then you can give that a lovely little watch as well.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It's been nice. Thank you, Colin.
That's all right.
Great to have
always
you with
a joy.
Oh, I love coming and talking about Formula One.
Yeah,
have we
really
already
good.
Discussed doing the final episode in your bunker again? Are we doing that?
We've not discussed that yet, but you know, you're more than welcome.
Let's discuss.
Where's it going to be?
Where's it going to be? Hey, no one knows.
I hope they don't put Imola as the last race.
I hope they do, because
no,
I think it's going to be raining.
No, because it's a rubbish track.
No, but
nothing happens on it.
But it might be raining and then we'll finally get a wet
That's
race.
That's true. It might be snowing.
Oh.
Somebody did say, like, Imola in December is quite wintry.
Now we're talking.
Mm, but I'd much rather they go Porto Mayo.
Right. Okay. Meanwhile, we will see you next week. Is it next week? It's next week. Is it next week?
Yeah.
It is next week.
It's pretty come sick and fast now, doesn't it?
I know.
It's like 10 races in like 7 or 8 weeks or something.
Yeah, knackered.
Busy.
Excellent.
Okay. See you next time.
Look forward to it.
Bye.